God, oh God, oh God. Amen. Amen. I don't believe God is done here tonight. I really don't. And I'll share with you some information, but Pastor did not ask me to preach until yesterday morning, yesterday afternoon. And but he didn't know this, and I questioned and was wondering too. But me and my family, my little family of four, was up here on Friday night, and we were praying by ourselves. And I felt like God impressed something on me, but usually I don't preach until the third week of the month on the Sunday night. And I was like, well, this is going to have to wait, you know, or we're just going to have to see what happens. And then, lo and behold, he texts me on Saturday, and I was like, okay, you know, there might be a need for this. There might be a need. And then as I was praying last night, I experienced something that is very rare that I experienced a long time ago. But it's while I was praying for this service, it was a strong, strong spirit of fear tried to attack me. A very strong spirit of fear. And it was putting things in my imagination. And I had to pause my prayer and switch keys and started focusing. And I asked a young preacher friend of mine as well. I was like, that ever happened to you? And he was like, no. And I was like, I don't know why. And as I kept praying for this service, and today I'd found out, I was like, okay. I was like, this makes sense. So I really feel God has a certain plan. God has an order that, or something he wants to complete tonight. And I don't think we need to take it lightly. Amen. We ought not to take any serious lightly. Right. But I feel strong about this service in my spirit. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter number 32. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And we're going to start at verse 1, and then we're going to skip a few verses after that. But verse 1 says, After these things, and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. So he thought he had it made. He thought he was just going to walk in there, put a little bit of pressure on, and there was going to be a victory for himself. Skip to verse number 10. It says, thus saith Sennacherib, king of Assyria, whereon do ye trust that ye abide in the siege in Jerusalem? So he's calling out to the people inside the walls, that ye abide in the siege of Jerusalem. Doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves to die by famine or by thirst, saying, the Lord our God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Hath not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall worship before one altar and burn incense upon it? Know ye not what I and my fathers have done unto all the people of other lands? Were the gods of the nations of those lands any ways able to deliver their lands out of my hand? Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed, that could deliver his people out of mine hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of my hand? Now therefore, let not Hezekiah deceive you, nor persuade you on this manner, neither yet believe him, for no God of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of mine hand, and out of the hand of my fathers. How much less shall your God deliver you out of mine hand? And his servants spake yet more against the Lord God, and against his servant Hezekiah. Amen, amen. So there's a lot happening. There's a lot of intimidation going, a lot of fear being pressed on the people of God. Just don't believe the king. Don't believe. There is a lot of fear. I need to stop because I'm going to go ahead and jump on into it. So if you know I'm short and sweet, so you can go eat. That's what I like to say. So you know it. And so just jump on board, but just open your hearts. And let's put our Bibles down and ask God to move here tonight. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen, amen. I have to say for this message that my feelings are all over the place. But as I was praying in pre-service prayer, I just want to go ahead and interject what I felt then right now. And you might understand later. But we can look, obviously, you know, we see that there's a guy, and he's this king that brought his armies. And he surrounded the children of Israel. He surrounded them in their walls. And he started putting a lot of pressure upon them. And he started really applying fear, the tactic of fear, upon them. And we have heard here in the past in some other messages that the purpose of war is to control. The purpose of war is to control. And that is Satan's desire. I preached a while, just a couple weeks ago, about check back into the battle. Check into the battle, and it's a whole spiritual war. It's a spiritual war that we are facing. Therefore, it is Satan's desire to control. It is his desire to control. So we see the enemies here surrounding Jerusalem, surrounding the walls, desiring to control this city. And as I was praying, I felt God impress upon me about the three Hebrew children, that there might not have been a battle, but they definitely were in bondage. They definitely had a bunch of fear placed upon them. Because when the king spoke, he was like, you must bow down. Bow down whenever the music is played. Bow down. And he immediately started, if you don't, you're going to be put to death. You better bow down. And out of all of them, there was only three that stayed standing. Three that stayed standing out of everybody taken captive into captivity. Three stood up against this. And we know how that story ends. But I just wanted to say, it doesn't matter what kind of pressure that Satan puts upon you. You don't have to bend. It doesn't matter what he puts against you or the spiritual battles that he puts you in. You don't have to cave back. You don't have to hold back. That's when you can stand. That's when you can shine the most, is when you stand up against his tactics, when you stand against what he tries to put against you. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Going into, I'll tell you, we serve an omnipotent God, an omnipotent God. I was taught as I was growing up, whether it was Sunday school or just hearing and preaching, you hear the definition of an omnipotent God is all powerful. But I like to search things up. And so I Googled it and I was like, I want to know if there's like a different definition, you know, if that's just what Sunday school teaches you. And it says the definition was having unlimited power, having unlimited power. That puts a whole new perspective on it when you see that God is an omnipotent God. It's different than saying, yeah, he's all powerful, but having unlimited power separates him from any other being that might have some sort of power. Because God has no limits upon his power and what he can do. Yeah. Hallelujah, right. Jesus. Right. Jesus' name. Revelations 19 and verse number 6 says, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Matthew 28:18 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In heaven and in earth, my God has unlimited power. Amen. If I can just get to you thinking how much is unlimited power, it's infinite. There's nothing that my God cannot do. Whatever you're needing, just think in your head, oh, my God has unlimited power. There is nothing that my God cannot do with the amount of power that he possesses. Jesus' name. Isaiah 44:24. I have a lot of verses tonight. It says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Psalm 145:3 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Just two chapters later, 147:5 says, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Matthew 19:26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things are possible. Are you getting a little, seeing a little tradition here going on, or some steps that, hey, there's nothing impossible for my God? It said over and over again, he can do all things. Yeah. All right. Hallelujah, all right. Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Jesus' name. Mark 10, verse number 27. It says, and Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. He says it again in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. We are serving a God with unlimited power. I don't care what it is you need. If it's a healing in your body, think there's unlimited power to do whatever he wants for your healing. If it's a miracle you want, my God can do the miracle with the power that he possesses. Oh, Jesus. Oh, do you believe it with all of your heart, with everything that's inside of you? No matter if it's a financial problem that's going on, no matter the situation, there is power for your problem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, it's easy to doubt. It's easy to doubt when he doesn't answer you the first time. It's easy to doubt when he doesn't answer you the second time. We're people. We're flesh. It's easy for us to immediately doubt when something doesn't go to our expectations. And that's why we're reminded time and time again that he has all power. Oh, if you have just a little bit of faith, the faith of a mustard seed, my God has the power to do whatever you need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. But he's not, that power is not confined. That power was not only when he was present on the earth. That power was not subjective to just him alone. But when he left, he gave us power. Power from upon high. Power to be witnesses. He gave us that magnificent power to see works done here on earth as it were when he was here on earth.
All right. In Jesus' name.
We have something that is very powerful that I want to bring to your attention. And sometimes it's easy to forget that even just how powerful the name of Jesus is. Just the name. This is why we aren't supposed to use the Lord's name in vain. And I feel like someone like, oh yeah, that's just what the Bible says. But when you really look into the power just behind the name of Jesus, just behind the name, you understand when you use God's name in vain, you are invoking the most powerful name in the universe in whatever you're saying. This is why that we're not supposed to use his name in vain, but because there is so much power behind it. Demons have to flee at the name of Jesus. Mark 16:17 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other name, for as there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Can we lift up that name right now tonight? Name. I want you to put all aside all doubt that might be trying to creep up in you. Be like, well, Brother Mike, I've been praying for this for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Nothing's happened. That'll matter. Keep coming again. Keep coming again. Sometimes it's your consistency where God's going to do something. God, because there's even more. In Jesus' name, there are miracles and healings in the name of Jesus. Acts 3:6 says, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. It just takes calling on the name of Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus and your miracle can be answered tonight. Oh, do you believe? Do you believe or do you feel a spirit trying to hold you back? I'm trying to raise your faith here tonight. It's more than just a healing. It's more than just your finances. Maybe you're depressed in your spirit and God is trying to do something. You just got to have faith that He's the deliverer as well. Oh, it's that unlimited power. It's that unlimited power. It's not that He gets to use a little bit of power on Brother Gavin and he's completely out. And then he can do whatever the whole front row needs and the rest 30 of you is completely just left for nothing. That's not it. It's unlimited power. There's no meter. There's nothing for Him to keep drawing back. It's unlimited. It's bottomless. It never stops coming for His children. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. We get back to my text in 2 Chronicles 32. And we look and we see the oppression that Sennacherib is putting on his people, on God's people, around the walls. And you can think like, oh yeah, he's got it made. But Sennacherib had him surrounded on three different sides. Because it is said that on that fourth side, it was just a mountain drop off. He couldn't come. They couldn't come up the back where it'd be very difficult. So he had him surrounded on three sides. And the people in those walls saw no way out. It was tough. It was bad times. They were depressed. There was a spirit that was facing him. And it was a spirit of fear just trying to put pressure on the people inside of the walls. Spirit of fear. They saw no answer. Nothing possible. How do we get anything out? How do we get help? There's nothing possible. The Bible later tells us on that there was at least 185,000 men there. Probably way more. Probably more. But it says that, it says that was the mighty men that were killed by the angel. 185,000. Because we at least know that Sennacherib got away. I mean, like, he got away and later on he was trying to worship his gods and his sons killed him. That's a great fathership right there. But anyways, he got away. So there's at least 185,001. But I think there was more. It was high oppression around these walls. And he starts to taunt the people of God. I wasn't content just putting pressure, but he starts to taunt them. Because in verse number 10, in 2 Chronicles 32, it says, thus saith Sennacherib, king of Assyria, whereon do you trust that ye abide in the siege in Jerusalem? Doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves to die by famine and by thirst, saying, the Lord our God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Hath not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars, and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall worship before one altar and burn incense upon it? So he starts to taunt them. Hey, do you really believe in your God? Do you really believe in your king? Do you really believe in everything that he's telling you? Because I'm telling you, I'm coming for you. And he proceeds to go even further. In verse 13, it says, know ye not what I and my fathers have done to all the other people in the lands? So it says, you surely have heard word of what I've done. I've conquered everyone. I've put them to the ground. They've had no chance. And you think that you can stand against me? He starts trying to lay out his accolades, if you will. He said, were the gods of the nations of those lands any way able to deliver their hands, not out of mine hand? Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed, that could deliver his people out of mine hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of my hand? Do you really think that your God is really able to deliver you out of mine hand? Now therefore, let not Hezekiah deceive you, nor persuade you on this manner, neither yet believe in him, for no God of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of mine hand and out of the hands of my fathers. How much less shall your God deliver you out of my hand? How much less shall your God really be able to deliver you? I think we have all kind of felt this sometimes in our life. Oh, the devil puts a lot of pressure on our life. He puts fear in our lives. I told you the story in the beginning because I really believe that fear is a tactic of the devil. Fear is a tactic, especially when you've already gone through some things in your life. Whenever you've gone through some trials, oh, he wants to come talking to you that, hey, I'm going to do it again. Hey, just think of what else I can do worse upon you. What else I can do to your family. What else I can do to your finances. What else I can do to your problems. Just think about it, because I have power too. He likes to make you think that his power is unlimited, and he starts to rule you by fear to where you can't get your victory. You can't get to where you used to be. That's not how God wants you to live, child of God. That's not how he wants you to live tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, I'm here to tell you what I really felt impressed upon me is that there are some people here that you're letting Satan really control how you worship. You're letting Satan really dictate how you act in church. You're letting him rule you and your victories, what's going to happen in the church. But you've got to stand up to that spirit of fear. It's not God's will. Come against it in Jesus' name. Jesus. The Bible says in Psalms 23, says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. No evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they shall comfort me. Sennacherib thought he had it all made, but God is standing there. Hey, no reason to fear, child of God. No reason to fear. I've got your answer tonight. I've got whatever you need tonight. Just worship me. Worship me in the trials of your life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you can pull up Psalms 46. Psalms 46, and we can all stand here tonight. And you're wondering, Brother Micah, it wasn't said that Hezekiah went and was worshiping in this problem. No, it wasn't. But it does say that he wrote these psalms in the midst of probably his biggest trial, when there is oppression all around him and he has no idea what to do. Maybe for you it might be depression. It might be some things that you faced. Maybe you did something 3 months ago that you regret. And the devil says, you're never going to get over it. And you try to get victory, but those images continue to flood in your mind. Maybe it's something that he took from you. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's whatever. You list your problem because you know it. You know it, and you might be the only one. And he's consistently reminding you of it. He does not want you delivered. The one thing that I try to think about is it's like a leash or a rope. And if you have something tied and you want to pull it a little closer, you just wrap it around your hand one more time. You want to control it a little bit more, just wrap that around a little bit more. And that's what Satan's doing to you. He's got a spiritual dog collar around your neck. He's got a leash attached to it. And when you try to get victory, when you try to step out, when you try to do something in faith, he yanks your leash just a little bit more. And you can't get victory that night either because he's consistently controlling you. You say worship is clapping your hands. I agree. Worship is praying and using your voice. I agree. But you want real deliverance. Try dancing a little bit. Try running a little bit. You can't run on a leash. You can't really dance on a leash. But when God delivers you, there's something that's going to get in your step. You're going to get your deliverance tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. You can read these with me if you want. Maybe you're still not feeling real joyous. Maybe you're not feeling fully delivered, but try reading these out loud with faith, despite your circumstance, despite, in spite of what you're going through. Let's read these. Psalms 46, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. He goes on, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, and the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be removed. God shall help her. And that right early. That sounds a little good, right? That sounds good. But he's not done. Chapter 47. He goes on for another chapter. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. Selah, God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. Are you getting the idea? Are you seeing the vision? Are you kind of feeling what he was feeling? Hey, no matter what I'm going through, this is a hard trial, but I'm going to praise my God. He went on for another chapter, Psalms 48. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God and in the mountain of our holiness. Can we worship the Lord right now? Can you start to worship him? Oh, come on, that's it. I'm preaching worship in spite of your circumstances, in spite of
all the negative things that are going on around you, in spite of all the negative things that have happened in your life, worship God in spite of your circumstances. Come on, that's it. He's here to set some people free tonight. You don't got to be bound by those anymore. You can worship freely in spite of your circumstances. Oh, that's it. Get back to the place you used to be. You used to be the one dancing up here. You used to be the one running the aisles. What happened? Where's that at? You're letting your circumstances dictate your worship. I worship God.